Welcome to the Resilient Mind Podcast. I'm Sam Bowler, and I'll be your co-host along with my wife, Natalie. Natalie is a licensed professional counselor in Nashville, Tennessee. She works primarily with survivors of complex trauma and specializes in dissociative disorders. The Resilient Mind is a platform for us and our guests to play our part in the bigger conversation around mental health. Specifically, we would like to raise awareness and understanding of complex trauma and dissociative disorders. So, whether you're a survivor yourself or you just stumbled upon this podcast, welcome to the conversation. We're glad you're here. Welcome to the Resilient Mind episode 6. And Natalie, we've been talking about different ways trauma can look for different people. Can you expand on that and just explain some of the ways that trauma can present itself to people?
Absolutely. So we're going to talk today about trauma and what that looks like for somebody who may have a very complex history, but who's actually quite high functioning on the outside.
Sounds great. And so what, I think sometimes the idea of what a trauma survivor would look like to somebody who maybe hasn't experienced a lot of trauma is somebody who is like, oh, clearly that person's been through a lot. And I think a lot of times it's people you wouldn't expect. Like, what does that look like in terms of maybe somebody who is, you know, somebody you would see on a daily basis who seems to be doing well on the outside?
I think that actually happens a lot where people expect that they know what it looks like for somebody who has trauma. I think it's really common to think of, you know, somebody returning from war and having PTSD from that, but it can also look a lot of different ways. And somebody who maybe experienced a lot of childhood trauma may also be highly successful, tends to get a lot done, be able to appear very confident in how they're presenting themselves in the world, while inside they're feeling shame, struggling to believe in themselves, thinking that they are bad, all of these sort of things. They may struggle to connect with people in an intimate way. They may struggle a lot in relationships. They may at nighttime have a really difficult time. And so, you know, some of these people are really, really good at doing things like work or coaching or teaching, things that don't require a lot of emotional energy. People may be very good at those things, but struggle very much in other areas of their life where people generally would have no idea.
What are some of those areas that people would struggle with that are more invisible to the general public eye?
I think the first example that comes to mind is sleep. And so whether that is somebody who's sleeping all weekend or somebody who is struggling to fall asleep at night because they know when they shut their eyes, their mind's going to be flooded with nightmares and memories and thoughts that are really challenging. And so during the day, somebody can seem perfectly fine and you may not have any idea that they have a trauma history at all.
Do you mentioned, you know, some people who can be really successful at things like work and coaching and things like that. Is it common for trauma survivors at times to, I guess, you know, channel that I don't want to, you know, face some of those really difficult, dark places into their work? And I guess, like, you know, if you're going to sleep and not able to, you know, having a hard time with that, and nighttime and quiet and stillness is difficult, Is it common to use work or coaching or something like that as an outlet for your energy? Like, I guess, does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think that's really common for people who are high functioning, who have trauma or complex trauma. The busyness of doing things that really engages their attention, keeps them occupied, keeps their mind occupied, keeps negative thinking, distressing memories, body sensations from coming up. And so it's a great distraction, but I think that we can only do that to a point until it becomes kind of like what we talked about last time, can become an avoidance tactic to stay out of your emotions, to stay out of your memories, to stay out of your body sensations.
Is there always a clear sense for an individual like that, that, you know, do you think it's easy to know what you're doing when you're busying yourself constantly, or is it easy to overlook that and think that you're doing a lot better than maybe you actually are?
I think it's really easy for you or people around you to think that everything's fine. You have it under control. You don't have trauma that you need to deal with. And I think people often find at some point that that's not really working for them. But up until a point, it works really well. It can be a great distraction. And it's actually not something that looks very dysfunctional on the outside either. It looks very adaptive, very functional to be successful, a hard worker. Those all seem like really good things. I think something that you mentioned is difficulty with stillness. And I think that is very, very challenging for people who are high functioning. Stillness, rest, mindfulness, being present, those kinds of things.
So how does one who has some difficulty with those things navigate going into learning to be still, learning to be mindful and do those things while still maintaining a high level of success at whatever they're doing, or still maintaining that? Because a lot of times there's a commitment that comes with being successful and, you know, having people rely on you and all those things. How does one navigate that kind of transition to learning and being able to figure out more about themselves while still having that high level of success?
Well, I think it's important to not always put everything before yourself. So whether that's work, relationships, it can look a lot of different ways, but I think what we're talking about, there is a tendency for people to put themselves last. They put everybody and everything before themselves. And I can a little bit here talk from personal experience as a trauma survivor, where this was very much my way of operating in the world. And I think once we develop these tendencies, in some ways they end up being a little bit lifelong, but there is a way to develop some balance. And so I think to notice when you're just feeling tired and exhausted, to notice when you're feeling burnt out on whatever it is that you're engaging with, to notice if you're withdrawing and that kind of thing from social relationships. But I think I'll just name some examples of things that have been helpful for me. So yoga has been huge for me, and I think for a lot of people who are high functioning, and maybe yoga is not something you're naturally good at. Again, I'm speaking from experience here, but I'm not very flexible. Stillness can be difficult, and so it's something that requires you to slow down, be mindful of your body, to be still, and just be with yourself. And I think that's been really healing for me, and I think for a lot of trauma survivors. I think it's important to find either yoga classes or a yoga teacher or a therapist that incorporates yoga, that it be trauma-informed, because I think there are a lot of things about yoga that can be triggering. I think other things can be going for walks and having those be mindful walks where you're really paying attention with all your five senses to your surroundings. I think really trying to be present and intentional in a conversation with somebody that you're close to can be helpful. Journaling's a great way to figure out what's going on inside of you. And I think for somebody who is high functioning, we have to be careful because I think people who are high functioning and who have trauma histories, their brains have gotten really good at compartmentalizing. And so with that being said, we don't want to overwhelm ourselves too much. When I say like we want to start to be still and pay attention, we have to go slow with that. And when I say that, I mean, we don't want to focus so much on what you're feeling, what your body sensations are, what your memories are, to a point where you can't focus at work. And so again, I think it goes back to this idea of balance, and we're trying to find the middle ground where we're able to be still, take care of ourselves, be intentional, while at the same time taking a break from that when necessary.
You mentioned a lot of things that are kind of routine oriented. How important is a routine to somebody who's trying to start doing some of this work while maintaining a high level of, I guess, success, for lack of a better word?
I think a routine is really helpful because people who tend to be highly successful, I think, also tend to be extremely busy all the time. And so it takes being intentional with your time and trying to set aside time where you can do some of these activities that require being present with yourself and being still. So another thing that I think is common for people is to say, I have such a busy schedule, I don't have time for self-care. And I think that your health really depends on your self-care and caring for your body, caring for your mind, caring for your emotional and physical well-being is so important. And so I wouldn't be surprised if some of you are having a response of, I just really don't have time for that. And I don't think it necessarily needs to be a huge time commitment. I think if you can just start out with 5 minutes a day, I think that's a great start. And then you can work your way up to doing things for longer periods of time. But I think that your work and your relationships and just your own well-being will all be better if you take the time to care for yourself.
One other question I wanted to ask is, what can people who are trying to support someone who is in this position, you know, a trauma survivor who's functioning very highly in the world and doing so many things and so busy, and, you know, I guess if you have someone like that in your life, what can you do to support them?
I think that's a great question. I think it is common for trauma survivors who are high functioning to find themselves, again, always putting other people first, including those closest to them. And so I think if you are a support person in somebody's life who has trauma in their background, to really check in with them, especially if you know they're in therapy and working on these things. Because again, I would say for people like this, it's difficult for them to ask for help and ask for what they need. They're so used to having it under control, managing their thoughts and feelings on their own without reaching out for help. And so I would say, even if they seem like everything is fine, that they have it all together and they don't need a lot from you, to really ask them how they're doing and what you can do to support them, and not trying to fix it for them, because again, that's not something that is necessarily helpful. Advice giving is not necessarily helpful. But I think just holding space for the person and saying, hey, I'm here for you. And I know that you have trauma in your background. And I know that you're working on this right now. And how are you doing? How can I help you? How can I be there for you?
So just being able to, yeah, just being able to express empathy and curiosity and be able to say I'm here.
Right. And sometimes I think it's even saying, if you have a sense that somebody is not okay, I think in some situations, and this isn't okay across the board, but some people even need to be told, hey, I know you're not okay, and that is okay, and we can figure this out together. Let me help support you in this.
Yeah, that definitely could be a thing to say. I think that's just hard to have good, I guess, awareness of when to say what to which people. And part of that's just like being sensitive, I guess, to, you know, whatever relationship you have to the person, how well you know them, how comfortable you are with them. Because I think that's probably one of the hardest things to navigate is knowing when it's okay to say something and when it's okay to when it's not okay.
Yes, that definitely makes sense. And I think just asking sometimes, because yeah, everybody has a different way of being in the world. And so sometimes it's helpful to ask. Sometimes people won't tell you, but at least they know that you're there if they do decide that they want to talk to somebody. I think for somebody who is high functioning that has trauma in their background, we really want to think about what we want to avoid saying. And for people like this, the worst thing you can say is, you're fine. Everybody goes through difficult times. Think about all the things you have to be grateful for in your life. Those kind of statements that are minimizing, because these people tend to minimize already what they're going through.
Great.
Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.